Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a fantastic day. It's Jamie here, obviously. I just wanted to quickly talk about our brand new podcast that we are releasing, and we're releasing the pilot episode today for you to listen to. Now, as you can see, the podcast is called Voice Mail. Myself and a great friend of mine called Josh Roberts, who was a guest on our podcast, decided to do this to talk and to start having the conversation about mental health. Now, a scary statistic is that the biggest killer for males under 45 is suicide. 3/4 of suicide are male. Guys don't seem to open up about their issues, their problems, their anxieties, their worries, their stress. Stress is because they feel like they can't or they don't want to. Now, Josh and I decided to change that, to remove that stigma and actually speak out about mental health, our own issues, and also other people's issues. Each episode, as I'm going to explain, we have some voicemails that we listen to and hopefully try and help out the people in it, as well as helping out others who listen to this podcast. I really, really hope you like it. As I said, it's a pilot episode, so please, any feedback we want to hear, we want to listen to, we want to understand. If you don't like it, hey, you don't like it. But if you do like it, please let us know by tweeting us at Private Parts, DMing us at Private Parts, sending us an email, sending me a tweet or an Instagram. Any feedback is really welcome. But we really, really hope that you enjoy this, because it's a really special podcast and it means a lot to Josh and I, and hopefully a lot to all of you people. So enough talking from me. Here it is. Here is our brand new podcast, pilot episode, Voicemail. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to your new favourite podcast, Voice Mail. Me and my friend Josh are going to listen to your messages and do our very best to help. I'm Jamie Lang, and with me is writer, campaigner, mental health expert, and all-round good guy, Josh Roberts. Hello everyone, welcome to Voice Mail, a new podcast where we ask everyone out there to send in their stresses, their worries, their concerns via a voicemail, and we try to help them out. I am your host, Jamie Lang, and this is my co-host, Josh Roberts. Hi, Josh.
Hello, Jamie Lang.
Josh, you're a bit more qualified than me, I think, in this area, because you're an author.
Fractionally more qualified.
Yeah. So well, you're an author. You're an author of a book.
Indeed.
I'm not an author of any sort of book. And you are the author of a book called The Anxious Man, right?
I am indeed, yeah. So I've a book coming out in April this year called Anxious Man.
You're already plugging it already. Look at that.
You're going to get these plugs in early. little and often. I'm a sufferer of an anxiety disorder. And in the process of writing the book, I've done a bit of research into other mental health problems. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to be with you.
And we met via a mutual friend, didn't we? Alexis.
Well, we met through our friend first on Grindr and then through Alexis. And then I had the privilege of coming on Private Parts. And the reaction, I don't know if it was the same, and I'm really hoping that we get the same from this. The reaction from particularly men to hear two blokes talking about mental health. It's crazy.
Do you know what it is, buddy? It's the fact that, you know, we now live in this world, right, where, you know, still to this day, the biggest killer under 45 for male is suicide, right? Guys don't open up and talk about different things because they feel like they need to be alpha. They need to stay strong. They internalize so much. If they speak about their issues, their problems, their worries, they are weak. And that is totally not the case, right? You need to speak out and be open and honest about the way you feel, whatever that may be.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I don't think it's just an unwillingness. It's also an unawareness that you can speak. So, you know, women in a way are slightly privileged in the sense, well, when it comes to mental health, and probably only mental health, more privileged than men because there's much more history of women having mental health problems. They're much more equipped to talk about these things. Whereas blokes, really until the start of the 20th century, it wasn't a thing. Mental health was tied to movements of the uterus. Men don't have uteruses, I don't think, TBC. And therefore, you know, we couldn't kind of suffer from these problems. So it's not just that we, you know, have these issues and don't want to talk about them. It's that in many cases we don't know how to talk about them.
Yeah, because we don't know how to be open and honest. Because exactly. If we are open and honest, we then go, well, we shouldn't be feeling this way. And actually, we then get ourselves into this total spin where we think, well, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Why am I feeling this way? I can't be honest and open about it because no one else is like me. Blah, blah, blah. And then it just goes down and down and down and down, doesn't it?
Exactly. And in reality, when you start to look at people through history or people even now who suffer from or just live with mental health problems, be that depression, anxiety, so forth, you start to realise, holy shit, some of the most amazing people on planet Earth.
Wait, like who?
Well, Winston Churchill, for example.
But he did?
Yeah, Winston Churchill struggled hugely with depression, the black dog, as he called it. Wouldn't get out of bed for days. And one of the reasons that he was such a big boozer. And, you know, Winston Churchill, the greatest Briton of all time. I mean, so many other men have had problems, like John Hamm, and loads of different actors have come out and spoken about their issues. And yes, yeah, so you start to realise, actually, maybe, I mean, to an extent where some people say maybe, you know, having a kind of melancholic side helps you.
Do you think it makes you more creative? Instead of, because I tell you what, when I first started getting, we're going to get into what I've had and you had, and you know, you've had anxiety, I've had anxiety, I've had lots of different issues as well.
Mine is bigger than yours.
Nah, mine's bigger than yours. My issues are way bigger than yours. So just want to let you know that from the start. Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
Yours are petty compared to mine. But I started getting tinnitus, right? And so I just Googled to make myself feel better. I Googled what celebrities had tinnitus as well.
What other celebrities?
What? Barbara Streisand had.
Holy
has,
shit.
Has.
The other blonde with tinnitus.
Chris Martin, Coldplay.
Really?
Tinnitus. Yeah. Me and him are similar in lots of ways. Tinnitus being one of them.
How can you, I guess maybe, would that not be a problem being in a band?
Well, I think the problem is that you're in a band and that's what causes tinnitus because you're surrounded by loud music the entire time. So I think that's what happens. But I suppose also, you know, the reason why we wanted to start this podcast together is, you've mentioned it before, is because we think it's important to be open and honest. And we're living in this current climate where, you know, I heard the statistic the other day, right? So 20 years ago, they asked a group of Americans how many people they could turn to in a crisis. So how many people they could turn to if they were in need or they were worried or they were upset. And the average answer was six people 20 years ago. They did the same test in the current day. They asked a group of Americans who they could turn to, and the average answer was zero. Zero people. Loneliness is a big thing. People don't open up. People aren't honest. We live in this world of complete connection, but actually we're just disconnected. So you and I want to start this because we're buddies. I talk to you a lot about my issues and my problems and the things that I'm going through. And you respond. And I never ask how you are, ever, because I just focus on myself a lot. So I thought it would be a good idea for us, you know, with your knowledge and understanding and research behind all of this and your history with mental health and with my history of mental health and my sort of openness and my ability to do podcasts, we thought we'd join it together and create our podcast voicemail, right?
I think definitely there's a couple of things I'd add to that, actually. The first is that
God, here we go already, right, chucking them in there, they're gone.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just thought I just said it so nicely. Okay, go on, tell me.
Well, no, I think the one of the only benefits about mental health problems versus physical problems is that often just talking about it or understanding, knowing that other people have had a similar problem to you is actually quite powerful in terms of starting recovery. That's one of the reasons I was so interested to come and have a chat with you. And the second thing, really important, probably to say right at the top, is that whilst, yeah, I've done tons of research, spoken to lots of people who've had similar problems, different problems to my own, neither of us are qualified medical doctors yet.
No, we're not. We are nowhere near being qualified at the moment. I have a 2-2 for theatre and performance at Leeds University.
Did you finish it?
Yes, I finished it.
You got the 2-2. Desmond.
I got a really low 2-2.
Wow.
Yeah. There was no exams. It was all coursework. It's basically cheating. And I still got a 2-2. And what did you study?
What was it, media and performance art?
Theatre and performance, Leeds University. Thank you very much. What did you study?
Fucking deck chair management, sun cream science. I did politics, philosophy, and economics.
Just swore at me. Wait, where did you study?
I did. I was in Trinity College in Dublin.
There you go. Look at that.
Yeah, but not medically qualified doctors.
Yeah, listen, Josh, we got that. We understand. We're not doctors. We're just sitting here, but we do think it's important to talk about mental health, and we also feel like the highest form of. Also, this is the other thing, okay, and I've said this on so many different podcasts, and I have never really said it on an actual podcast that is meaningful. The highest level of happiness is helping people, is reaching out, connecting with different people. You think that you want to receive money, fame and wealth and all these different things and power, and actually that doesn't make you happy. What makes you happy is helping others. And this podcast is here to help other people out there who are struggling with different issues, you know, hopefully make them laugh, make them giggle, give them some insight, give them some empathy, and also just, you know, maybe, I don't know, save a couple of people.
Fingers crossed.
So we should probably explain a little bit of the format that we've got going here. So we ask for people to send in their worries, their stresses, their anxieties, their problems, anything at all that they were feeling. Send us a voicemail. And we got a whole bunch of voicemails, which is just insane. We got so many of them. Now, each episode, Josh and I are going to play 3 voicemails and then speak about it. You know, we would love to answer all of the questions that come in and answer all of the voicemails that come in, but that probably isn't possible. But we're hoping that we will get through them slowly by slowly. Isn't that right?
That's the plan.
That is the plan. So shall we listen to our first voicemail?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hi, Jamie. My name is Rosanna and I'm 27 years old. I obviously just saw your Instagram story, and I think what you guys are doing with talking about mental health is a great initiative. It's a really important topic. For me personally, health anxiety is huge, and I am the worst. I've got a few physical health problems anyway, which doesn't help. But as soon as I get any new symptom, I turn to Dr. Google, which is just the absolute worst thing you can do. And I dramatise everything. It drives my friends and family mad, it drives me mad, and I immediately jump to kind of worst case scenario. And obviously, you know, you Google away and you convince yourself of all sorts. So, yeah, trying to get out of that rut and kind of looking at ways that can be helped would be great. And yeah, just finding out a bit more about what you guys are going to be talking about. It all sounds exciting. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Josh, there we go. What do you think? Health anxiety.
Health anxiety. Yeah, surprisingly common and really very irritating. There's very little data in the UK about health anxiety. Probably the most comparable data comes from Australia, where any 1 year is about 5-6% of the population will struggle with health anxiety. What is it? Well, it's like an obsessive worry about your health. So so people will... people who struggle with this will be constantly thinking, like scanning their body to find particular physical ailments, or they will notice like differences in their vision, and then, as a caller described, take to like the internet or to Google and try to sort of uncover and self-diagnose themselves with like life-threatening conditions. It comes in obviously like varying degrees, where starting from sort of mild hypochondria right up to the top end, where people, will even go so far as to convince themselves of an illness and start to develop physical symptoms.
Are you
in
serious?
Response
people
to
can actually start developing them?
Yeah, so for example, I was actually listening to a separate podcast about this where someone who suffered from this exact problem was describing how they started to feel sort of like nauseous, went to the doctor thinking that they had multiple sclerosis, kind of having diagnosed themselves on the back of some Googling with multiple sclerosis. And the doctor made the mistake of saying, oh, don't worry about that, because the first sign of multiple sclerosis is dots appearing in your vision. And then next morning, this girl wakes up and lo and behold, dots in her vision. So it can be really, really debilitating. I don't know about you. It's something that I've had. I've got much, much better at it, but I've had elements of health anxiety.
Okay, go on. What have you had?
Well, so, I mean, in probably the last 2 years, I've had survived from 4 or 5 different cancer scares.
Well done. You survived them.
It's funny now, but actually what happened for me, which was helpful for me, but, you know, it's like not applicable everywhere else, is I left a job to go and write this book. So I was completely impoverished and could no longer basically afford to keep up my health anxiety because I was going to see the private Bupa clinic.
Yeah.
One of the things that you find is very common with people who suffer from health anxiety is something called like hyperbolic discounting. So they will ignore or try to pick holes in the credibility of doctors.
Everything. Oh my God.
So the doctor will say, okay, don't worry. And you'll go, yeah, but you would say that because you're a time poor NHS GP. So maybe if I spend 60 quid on a Bupa doctor, they'll spot something that you wouldn't necessarily. No, but it's true. And, people will start Googling how often doctors misdiagnose conditions to prove
that they would be wrong.
That the doctor has got it wrong.
Dude, I'm totally with you. So what happened with your ones that you had?
I would book 15 minute appointments with at the like Bupa private clinic on a monthly basis on the assumption that I'd have a couple of ailments that I would need to get sorted out.
Can I be totally honest with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I listened to this podcast the other day because one of the reasons why I wanted to start this podcast, and you know about this, is that recently I've been feeling incredibly anxious and I think almost burnt out in a certain way. I think that I've sort of worked myself to the bone and I'm feeling anxious and all these different things. And I kind of realized that actually talking about it helps a lot more. So I was listening to a podcast which is all about gut health.
Yeah. Okay.
And said that if your gut's healthy, then your mind's healthy. So this morning I went and had clonic irrigation.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. And you have to go.
I thought you were very light on your feet.
Feels so light. Feels, she said, and you go in there and they put you in a robe and they put a pipe up your butt.
Yeah.
And they flush it out with water and it clears your whole colon. She told me I had a very long colon.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm very proud of it. But it's true. Health anxiety is so much.
One of the big pitfalls is most of the symptoms of like the least worrisome conditions, common cold, that kind of thing, are also shared with the most serious conditions. So when you sit down and if you're a person that's prone to worry and you've got nausea, a sore throat, you know, cough, like basically cough symptoms, you sit down, start Googling. You start off with a common cold. Within 5 minutes, you've got common obstructive pulmonary disorder.
Which is what? What's that?
Well, it's like a chronic lung condition that's like, you know, obviously has very difficult or very low survival rates. But there's a couple of other problems with health anxiety in particular. One is that it often goes undiagnosed because doctors will prove or disprove the physical ailment and then kind of dismiss you without actually diagnosing the underlying mental health problem that's led to you being there. Mm-hmm. So they'll say, well, you don't have multiple sclerosis, off you go, rather than saying, you don't have multiple sclerosis, but I think given how many times you've been in the surgery, you might have problems with health anxiety. So that's one issue. And the other problem that you have is that it's one of these conditions. You can't think yourself into having cancer.
Sure.
Right? You can't think yourself into having high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's not entirely true, but you can.
Don't tell us that. No, then we can think ourselves into it.
No, but if you suffer, if you're the sort of person that you know, can get wound up by things, that would potentially affect your blood pressure. But what I mean is, you can't think yourself into having some of these conditions, but you can absolutely make health anxiety worse for yourself by Googling it, by, you know, visiting forums, all this kind of stuff. So the advice, from my perspective, would be try to give up Google. It's tough.
Sick advice. That is the best bit of advice.
If you absolutely must visit the internet, stick to the NHS website, because everything on the NHS has been written by people who really know stuff, rather than some muppet in the, you know, arse end of a forum from 2005, you know? So that's the first thing. And then it's all of the normal stuff that you would try to do to cope with anxiety more broadly. So cognitive behavioral therapy is very strong when it comes to reducing health anxiety. Some people have found things like antidepressants and those kind of like more sort of pharmaceutical things that can be very helpful with it. And then all the suite of normal well-being things like drinking less, exercising more, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that healthy living. I think, you know, it's so true. I think the sort of reassuring thing is that a lot of people experience health anxiety.
1 in 20, yeah.
Well, 1 in 20 people, right? So you're not alone. And secondly, yeah, getting stuck in those forums, Googling, searching everything. I was at a dinner table in skiing, and I had a yellow tongue. I'd been when I was 22 years old, and I'd been partying quite a lot, and I had this sort of yellowish sort of thing on my tongue. It was just me being dehydrated, unhealthy. I'd been partying for 3 days, whatever it was. And I Googled it at the dinner table, seeing what symptoms came up, and straight away came up that said that I had STDs and all these different things. As soon as you start Googling things and going to forums, you get stuck into this web of, and you start self-diagnosing, and it's just a terrible thing. So you're so right. Stay away from that if you
yes,
can.
Yes, I would also recommend not having unprotected sex. I think the evidence there is, again, quite conclusive.
Thanks, Josh. Should we listen to our next voicemail?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hi, I just saw your Instagram post in regards to mentioning a current stress or worry. My name's Elle, and my current stress at the moment or worry or problem is actually just getting up in the mornings and just feeling super anxious. It really stresses me out. I absolutely adore my job at the moment. But I can't seem to find the motivation to get up in the mornings. I think this is because my current problem is that I worry a lot and I'm overthinking like my current life situation. I'm currently 23 and I feel like I don't have my life together right now. A lot of people say to me, oh, you're only 23, you don't have to have your life together, but it feels that there's a lot of pressure in this day and age. So I think my question to you would be, did you go through a similar situation when you were in your 20s, like your early 20s, and are there any tips that you would suggest for me to be motivated and to continue trying to achieve my goals and not to feel too, you know, too down about it, because I think at the moment it's making me really down and I don't want it to be. Thank you very much for taking time to listen to this voicemail, this lengthy voicemail, and I hope you have a brilliant day. Thank you. Bye.
Do you know what? With these ones, right, is that it seems like, Josh, like a lot of people's anxieties or worries or sadnesses or concerns always happen at night or in the morning.
Mm.
That's when they kind of sort of seem to kick in, isn't it? Why is that? Do you know?
Well, I think it's very often one of the only times where you're truly alone with your thoughts.
Yeah, that's it. You're not distracted, isn't it?
Nowadays, yeah. You spend so much of your time in the modern world either with other people or swept up doing other stuff. Or even when you are on your own, you're sort of passively doing things like cruising social media, which occupies your brain. The sad news is this is a really common problem. Something that I've had, I mean, it's the basis of my my whole issue around anxiety. And just like the caller, it's always worse for me first thing in the morning, like you describe.
Why is that though? Because this is where my anxiety kicks in. This is what I have.
Well,
at
you're
the
alone
moment
with your thoughts, aren't you? Just lying in bed.
You wake up in the morning, you have that sort of knotty feeling in your stomach. It feels like it's twisting. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah, and it's particularly irritating because it sort of sets the mood for the day. And you sort of wake up in the morning, and if that's the first thing you think, it tends to sort of colour the rest of your day.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
What was interesting, I thought, about the call was that it was quite specifically, or she felt that it was quite specifically tied to her kind of stage of life. And early 20s, mid-20s is a particularly challenging period of people's lives. It's when I had my own breakdown. I know, obviously, you've had issues around exactly the same period of time. And I think there's a number of different forces going on at that stage in our lives. You've kind of maybe left university full of hopes and dreams and come to realise that actually life is pretty tough. There are elements of life that, you know, aren't exactly what you've expected. Things cost more, you earn less, and success isn't quite as easy to come by. And I think also you take all of those kind of forces and refract them through the social media age, where at the tap of a button you can see a million other people whose lives are better than yours. Now, in reality, and actually it'd be really interesting to get your view on the kind of Instagram thing, but in reality, those people's lives are probably just as, if not more, hollow than your own.
Completely.
But, when you're sat there in bed late at night, first thing in the morning, already starting to wonder whether or not your life is turning out the way that you thought it would, and then you're bombarded with pictures of people whose lives are, you know, after parties and holidays to Mauritius or whatever, yeah, it's probably not going to help your state of mind.
That's it. You know, there's a big problem. That's one of the biggest problems with sort of social media, especially at the young age. You know, 23 years old and worrying about life, that is so typical. Because, you know, after university, they actually call it the lost year. When you leave university, you have that year of trying to find out what job you're going to get and things like that. They call it the lost year because you don't really know what you're doing. And as you said, everything's a bit more expensive. Success isn't as easy as, you know, you think. Perhaps your relationship isn't going as well. All these different things happen. And coupled that with social media now, which we have, is that you stereotypically, you're meant to know 150 to 200 people. That's what you're meant to know. You're meant to have this village mentality. So if you have a wedding, let's say, or a big party or whatever it is, you invite 150, 200 people max. That's what there would be. And out of that 150, 200 people, you have a USP, a unique selling point. And your unique selling point would be you're a gymnast, or you would be a dancer, or you'd be the best at writing, or you'd be the funniest, or whatever. You would have something that makes you you. People know you for that. The problem with Instagram is that you then have access to millions and millions of people. And out of those millions of people, you think that you see everyone who is more successful than you, or funnier than you, or better than you. And so then you lose your sense of self. You kind of go, well, what's the point of what I'm doing? And I don't think I'm going to be achieving anything. And it's a classic thing. 22, 23 years old was the time when I had my first ever panic attack. I was just started doing a television show. I was doing Made in Chelsea, and I had decided to go down this route. It was very exciting, but I didn't really know what I was doing. Mm. I didn't have any security. I didn't have anything. I didn't have any direction, and that's where a lot of my anxieties came from. And I can really relate, like you said, relate to that anxiety in the morning. You wake up and you have that real anxiety, that real knot, and all you kind of want to do is you want to sort of stay in bed and remain in bed because you don't want to face the day, because almost facing the day is harder.
Yeah, although it works one of two ways. Mm-hmm. Either it affects you to the degree where you don't want to get out of bed, or the complete opposite, which is my instance, which is you lie awake at night, barely ever sleeping. And so you can't wait to get out of bed because then you won't be lying in bed anymore. So it's kind of one or the other. But either way, time on your own leads to, you know, kind of feeling these negative thoughts.
Yeah, totally. And it's a horrendous feeling. But I always think that, you know, what you kind of try and have to do is in the mornings is you have to try and get up and you have to sort of force yourself to have that routine, to go to the gym, to do something in the morning, whether that's go on a walk or read the newspaper or check something or do this. You have to have that sort of motivation, because if you sort of self dwell in that kind of existence, it becomes quite hard, doesn't it?
Definitely. There's a few things I would recommend here. I think, firstly, you have to unpick this idea that everyone else's life is better than yours. The reality is that it isn't. Mm. I mean, that really just is like objectively the case. Once you've seen the other side of social media, you come to realize that the vast majority of it is just completely invented. The second thing is that this idea of being late or having missed the boat age 23 is, again, I can see where it's coming from, but it's slightly misguided. Again, there's so many people who... like hugely successful people who don't find their careers until slightly later on in life. Yes. And I'm talking like Colonel Sanders, the founder of KFC, didn't open his first KFC until he was 62.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
And how do you know that?
I Googled it.
You Googled it? I thought you told us not to Google it.
The Colonel is a friend.
But it's the same with the, weirdly, all these fast food chains, same with the guy who franchised McDonald's. He was like 65.
Ronald.
No, not Ronald. Ronald did not franchise. But some guy, I can't remember his name, he franchised McDonald's.
Oh, fair play. Yeah, J.K. Rowling was in her 30s.
There we go.
Steve Carell was in his 40s when he got the office. So the idea that everyone else's life is better than yours is misguided. And also the idea that you've missed the boat, again, is not something that's worth worrying about. I think there's a couple of other things. Definitely reassess your situation with your relationship with social media. If you find that you're not getting anything positive from it, then why do you have it on your phone?
I couldn't agree more.
And you and I are of an age where, you can remember life before social media. So you have
blissful. It was blissful.
Mate, well, it was, actually. And sometimes there's some stuff on social media that's helpful. I follow weird things that I find interesting or funny, but I try not to follow. Sorry.
What, me? You're about to say you don't follow me.
No, because you've lived this sort of fabulous celeb life and I'm lying there in bed in Battersea eating a curry, looking at you, you know, splayed on some bed in the Maldives thinking, fuck you. So, you know, I try not to do that, and I would really recommend reassessing the kind of relationship with social media.
I think that's totally right. I think that is it, and not obsessing over other people's lives, because, as you said, they're really not any better or any worse. Everyone's just the same, and actually people, you just sort of glorify everything on social media. Everything is just a snapshot.
Yeah, and it's totally optional. To get stuck into that stuff is completely optional. If you want to delete Instagram from your phone,
delete it
and get something else on your phone to replace
it.
Or even better than that, get a hobby or get some other point of interest in your life that you can use to replace it. The other final thing, particularly when you struggle to get out of bed in the morning, so when I speak to people who suffer from depressive conditions, getting out of bed is often that's like the first hurdle of the day. And one of the things that people find quite effective is if you make a really, really detailed list of the first, or like objectives for the first few hours of the day, which could be as simple as have a shower, make breakfast, brush your teeth. But if you're able to start ticking things off on that list, it kind of puts a bit of momentum into your day. There was a great, great video, which I would thoroughly recommend, of an American military commander talking about the transformative power of making your bed. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly that same thing, where it's such a small thing to do, but having made your bed, you've ticked off the first objective of the day. You've been proactive when you could have been reactive or slovenly. And it's a kind of really great way to start the day. So that was another thing that I think I would recommend.
I think that's perfect. I think that's great. Hey, I like your advice, Josh.
And if you can, splay yourself on a bed in the Maldives.
Do it.
Do it.
Right, you ready for our next voicemail?
Yeah, let's do it. Number three.
Hi, I'm giving you this message because I just saw your Snapchat, your Instagram story. My issue is a bit of a deep one, to be fair. Been having a few problems to do with girls and just being rejected a lot and needing that confidence just to get back out there and, you know, and find a girlfriend because I've been single for a long time. So I don't know what's happening to this. So just getting that confidence back again after a lot of rejection and also just that kind of self-worth.
Do you know what? You can already hear it in his voice, the sense of like almost shame and that he's sort of feeling, or the embarrassment that he's feeling. And that just shouldn't be the case. You know, I think that it is really hard in life to deal with rejection and to deal with certain situations like that. I remember when I was at university, I had girlfriends throughout my school days. Always did, always had girlfriends, was always the guy getting girls. And then I got to university and suddenly I was in a big pond and I was a very, very, very little fish and I was not getting any girls whatsoever. And for a year or 6 months to a year, I lost total confidence from being a guy who was super confident to all these different things to losing total confidence because I got rejected or wasn't quite going on dates or dating anyone. And then slowly, you self-loathe and you go, well, then no one likes me. I'm worthless. I'm never going to get anyone. And it's a tough kind of road to go down because you feel like you feel self-loathing and it's not a good thing.
Yeah, particularly I think nowadays it kind of, with the last caller, we were talking a bit more about social media and how that can amplify your, you know, worries about your own life. I think the way that modern dating is set up, the use of dating apps and so forth, again, probably like amplifies that feeling of rejection, of loneliness, of uselessness, because, well, if I've got thousands of girls in my phone and not one of them will swipe right on me, then, you know, how fucking useless am I, kind of thing. And there's loads of data behind that. So the picture of dating apps is quite complicated because on the one hand, they do help to match people who would otherwise not have met each other. And they make that kind of process of meeting people a bit easier. I must confess, I've never been a big app user myself.
Never needed it, have you?
No, man, I'm just so boring. I've been with the same girl for too long. That predate the apps. I mean, I was like Bebo days. MSN. But that idea that, you know, there's a million girls in your phone and none of them will say yes to you, I think, is probably only serves to amplify that. And like I was saying, the data is quite conclusive. There was again, I think it was in Australia.
Love Australia.
No, it was in North Texas. There was a study in North Texas that showed that men who use dating apps have a considerably lower view of their own or lower belief in their own appearance. They think themselves uglier than they.
But why?
The men who don't.
Why is that?
Same thing as the social media thing. I think you're constantly comparing yourself to other people, and particularly with something like Tinder or Grindr, Bumble, whatever it is, your ability to measure. I mean, it's really placing like hard metrics. I liked this many people who didn't return the favor. Mm-hmm. It's like really difficult. Evidence,
yeah,
to deal with.
You're basically there and you're basically putting yourself up and you're just constantly getting,
yeah. But I think the other thing to say is like your approachability and desirability as a human being extends so much beyond the stuff that you're able to put on an app,
yeah,
that to measure yourself by the performance, your performance on an app is kind of bullshit.
Yeah, I totally agree. But also every single person in this world, every single person who has ever dated or ever done anything has been rejected. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter if you're Brad Pitt or you're or you're Josh Roberts. You've been rejected.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, no worries. You have. You've been rejected at some point. And things come in roundabouts. And also, we live in this, you know, don't know how young this guy was, but when you were young and sort of dating and trying to date different girls, right? It was all about who you were dating, things like that. So then when you're not achieving that, you don't feel very... It kind of gets worse and worse, doesn't it? But everyone has experienced that. Everyone's experienced rejection and people not wanting them and breakups and all these different things.
I guess the challenge is, how do you experience that rejection and not let it affect you going forward? And I think there's a few things that you could do. One thing that I'm talking with a friend about this recently, and it's that it sounds very trite and kind of corny, the idea that no one else is going to fancy you until you kind of fancy yourself a bit.
Yeah, totally.
So you've got to go about working out how you can fancy yourself. And one of the ways you could do that is to like take up a hobby or to indulge a passion, something that you're good at. Everyone in life has things that they're good at. Cooking, pottery, painting, whatever it is.
Sure.
And if you're able to really engage in that sort of thing and to really, yeah, get passionate about it yourself, then that's the sort of thing that longer term will lead you to being more more sort of, yeah, impassioned
so,
externally.
So doing something that you know that you're good at and doing it to the fullest.
Yeah, exactly. And doing other things to kind of build out your life. The guy, the chat with the voicemail, his sounded like his primary challenge was around rejection from women. But the lines between that and suffering from low self-esteem or depressive tendencies are fairly blurred. And so I would suggest that the things that work to solve depressive conditions or issues of low self-esteem would also probably help him in the sphere of meeting girls and so forth.
I think that it is. I think self-confidence is a big thing, especially in young males. I think everyone...
Do you get a question?
Yes. I get it if you, all the time.
No. Okay, so you're obviously in a loving relationship.
Uh-huh.
But say you're in a bar.
Yeah.
Right?
Go on, set me up for this one. Here we go.
Okay, and... oh my God, you've been made a joke.
They normally say, "Oh my God, you're from Bake Off," but they don't say that.
You're on Bake Off.
Yeah, I was on.
Were you?
Yeah, I made the worst cake ever, supposedly to Paul.
You didn't make biscuits.
No, I didn't make any biscuits. We did make biscuits for the second round. Yeah, but if
do you know what I mean? Has that ever actually genuinely happened to you recently, where you've been someone said to you no?
Yeah. I mean, recently, yeah, it has. I mean, I went to New York and LA and we were filming out there and it happened a lot over there. Happened a hell of a lot because, you know, I suppose there's something, especially back when I was dating, there was something intriguing. If you went to a bar, there was something intriguing for some people about someone who's on the television or someone who supposedly has some sort of fame, so it's quite intriguing. People who have no idea who I am, couldn't care, they see some small blonde bloke standing at the bar. I'm not going to walk in there and people aren't going to go, their heads aren't going to turn.
But what's your reaction when someone goes,
I've got used to it. I've got used to, I don't mind rejection so much. I went through a period where it was really hard. I remember going back to my time at university when I didn't date anyone for about 6 months. And I remember I went to a party and I met a girl, and it was the first girl that actually I sat with and I had a good conversation with, and I thought she was really hot, and I knew she thought I was hot. And I suddenly went, oh my God, I'm going to make this girl my girlfriend, because at last I'll have a girlfriend. I remember thinking that. And then I went through a period, even when I first started doing the Made in Chelsea and being on television, I would meet a girl that I kind of liked the look of and she fancied me, but then I became so nervous to talk to her. I almost became a different person. I wasn't confident because I thought automatically they're not going to want me. They're going to not like me. And actually how I got kind of over it is that I kind of thought to myself, but what is the worst thing that happened? And I think the best piece of advice is put yourself out there. So for example, if someone, you tell someone to go to the gym, right? Someone says, I need to start gymming. Don't say to them, go and run a marathon right now. Take it step by step. So go on like a 10 minute run or a 5 minute run. Mm-hmm. At least you're going on a run. With self-confidence, I honestly think it's about putting yourself out there, because the worst thing can be, you can be rejected. I understand that's a really tough thing. But what I then started doing is and it was really hard, but I pushed myself out there. If I was in a bar or if I was on a run, or if it sounds quite creepy saying it actually, if I was anywhere and I liked the look of a girl and I wanted, I would go up to them and ask them on a date. I would just go and do it. Because if I got rejected, I got rejected. But most of the time, you don't.
Mm.
You kind of get... And I think actually that gives you a bit of confidence.
That's very...
Just putting yourself out there.
So in the treatment of particularly OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, they talk about exposure response therapy. So if someone is terrified about leaving the house unlocked, the advice will be leave the house unlocked once or twice and see what happens. And the first time, it's incredibly uncomfortable. But then you realise that actually the world doesn't fall around you if you leave the house unlocked.
That's exactly it.
And so each time you go on and do it, it becomes a little bit less. So actually that's an interesting approach to it.
I think it's totally that way. I think you've got to, you know, with fears, you've got to face them front on.
It does sound a bit creepy now yeah. that I think of it.
But you do. And I think
stalking
that,
women in the bar.
Yeah, it does sound a bit stalking. But rejection doesn't matter. It's so natural and normal to feel that way for guys at any sort of age. We feel it because rejection is, and girls, women feel it as well, for sure, 100%. You're not alone in this. But go out there, go and start approaching women. That sounds bizarre. Approach them. But do just go and ask someone on a date. If you like the look of someone, forget the dating apps. Go up to someone, do it, you know, the old school way. Ask them on a date. If they say no, they say no, whatever. But actually, it kind of puts your confidence up there, and at the end of the day, you start to build self-confidence within yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you pair that with the idea of trying to discover and uncover things that you love in life or passions that you have and really indulge those at the same time, over time, yeah, I think you'd be having more success.
There we go. Right, everyone, that is the end of voicemail. Now, if you have a worry, a problem, a stress, a query, a anxiety, a...
If Jamie's approached you in a bar, yeah. There's a number you can call.
Please do leave us a voicemail. We would love to potentially hear it on the next episode. Please remember, we are not a qualified practitioner. We don't have any degrees in this area. We're just here to be a friend and to be a voice for you. Please go to our show notes if you do want to seek further help. It's all in the notes below. Josh, did you have a nice little time today with me?
I had an excellent time. I really did enjoy it.
It's great. And we just get to hang out and talk about our feelings with each other.
With our tops off.
With our tops off. We did this whole thing completely naked. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.